I'm Nina Jaffe. And on the phone with me again is Marilyn Burns, the guru of numbers to thousands of teachers and author of books about math for both teachers and kids. Hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Nina.
Marilyn's latest book is called So You Have to Teach Math, Sound Advice for K-6 Teachers, written by Marilyn Burns and Robin Silby and published by Math Solutions. The book is in a question and answer format, and it's filled with 101 questions that both new teachers and veteran teachers might have. And then Marilyn offers answers to those questions based on more than 30 years of experience as a teacher, author, and creator of in-service workshops and materials. Marilyn, today let's talk about calculators.
Oh, there's a hot topic.
Right. I'm guessing that many math teachers feel ambivalent about calculators, or they're not sure when and how to let kids use them in math. So what's your opinion? Should teachers let kids use calculators? And if so, when?
Well, a calculator is a real-world tool. It's available. You can get them for less than $5. So it's kind of strange to say that children don't use something that every adult finds useful and almost essential. So, yes, I think children should use them. And I think that we have to think very carefully as teachers about how we have them use them in school.
Mm-hmm. Can you give me an example of how in a grade like third grade, which I believe you're teaching now, calculators might be used?
Well, the third graders I'm teaching now are learning about multiplication, and basically they're learning about how multiplication relates to addition. Well, you know, if you take most calculators, and practically all that I find now, and you press any number, and you press the plus sign and the equal sign, you keep pressing equals, 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 it counts by whatever number you started with.
Right.
So we press 8 plus equals, and you get 8, 16, 24, 32, 40. Well, the children, using the calculator, their job is predict before you press the equal sign. So in a way, the calculator is helping children become familiar with multiples.
Right.
And in that way, the calculator is a tool to help them learning. That's not the only way to use a calculator, because basically, I think about my own use of a calculator. Most of the arithmetic I do all day long, I do in my head. I figure tips in my head, or I sort of estimate how much I'm going to spend at the supermarket. But if there's any time when I need to be accurate and I want to be efficient when I'm dealing with complex numbers, I'd be ridiculous not to get a calculator. So in another way, I want children to know that a calculator can be a way of reducing drudge when we need to have answers that are complex, but I don't want it to be a replacement for thinking.
Right. In a way, the technology still has to serve your own mathematical knowledge and thinking.
That's right.
How can you best teach children how to use a calculator, and why don't we look at those early elementary grades first in terms of teaching them how to use a calculator? Do you have any tips?
I remember a second grade child, we were doing this activity where I had a little cube that I had taped the bottom so nothing could fall out, and they filled it with popcorn, and they would estimate how many popcorn kernels, and then they would count them, and they would see how far off their estimate was from their count. And so Raquel came up with a calculator to figure out the difference between the estimate and the count. She said to me, what do I push? And I said, well, if you don't know what to push, this is probably not a good tool.
Right.
I mean, how would you solve this problem? And she said with this little voice, like, should I subtract? And I said, well, that would be good. And she skipped back and got paper and pencil and went to work.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't use a tool you don't know how to use. But that said, I think that it's so interesting to say to children, how do you figure out how to make this thing do what it does, and what does it do, and what do you know how to do? So anything you can do, it may be able to do more quickly, but some things you can do, it can't do, and we just start exploring there.
Right.
What do you notice that you recognize? You see the numbers. What else do you recognize? You see an equal sign. You see a plus sign.
And what about the fact that students will bring their own calculators to school, but they might have different kinds made by different companies? Is that a problem? And how does a teacher deal with the differences in calculators?
Well, I prefer to have different calculators because, remember, we're preparing children for life. We're not trying to teach them all how to use this particular calculator. So I think, especially even think about younger children, all the work we do with sorting and classifying and looking for patterns, let's have children compare their calculators with a partner and make a list of how they are alike and how they are different. What a nice assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Get them to organize and think, and what do they do and what do they not do that are the same and different. And then things come up where some calculators have things that other calculators don't, and children say, what's that do? What does that do? Because I guess most calculators have memory now, but they're just configured a little bit differently, and they handle how they come up with errors a little bit differently, and some use negative numbers and some don't, and some have larger displays and smaller, and it's fascinating. They get so fascinated and get interested and curious, and once they're curious, you know that's the best time to teach.
So in a way, you're saying you could even do a Venn diagram kind of
sure.
lesson around calculators, and that offers kids a chance to do some comparison and even possible critiquing of the technology.
It's interesting. Like, there are square root keys. I remember being tortured as a child. Well, actually, I liked it. I confess I was one of those anal compliant kids to learn how to do square roots with paper and pencil. It was a long, laborious, strange algorithm. And now you just push a number in and press the square root sign. But what does that mean? And how can you bring meaning to that numerical idea through some kind of geometrical representation? How can you get older kids to play with that idea of approximating what its square roots will be? The calculator, to me, is such a great tool for teaching.
Mm. You know, speaking of older kids, I think one of the problematic areas around calculators is testing and when children are being, in fact, tested. And some classrooms, schools, and teachers allow calculators, some not. What is your opinion, and what should the kind of criteria be for that?
Well, it depends on my purpose, and it's my decision to decide. Sometimes, well, I'm working with older kids. In the fall, I was doing work with multi-digit multiplication with fourth graders, and so I don't want them to be doing it on a calculator.
Right.
I want them to be thinking about appropriate strategies for efficiently multiplying. So I say to the children, here's the problem we're going to talk about, and I don't want you to use a calculator because I want to know how you're going to think about it, and I want to be sure that you can think about it on your own. That's easy. So I just decide to teach it. If I ask a child to multiply 53 times 16, it's an absurd, trivial question if
right.
they have a calculator there.
Right.
But it's an important question for them to know how to approach a problem like that in a way that makes sense.
Right. So based on the content, what your expectations
sure.
are is when you would decide when to use it. It occurs to me that calculators are also used very often by people in communities, by storekeepers, in businesses. Do you think there might be some kind of social studies or other kind of curriculum connections where calculators might come into the picture?
Yes, you think about our cash registers,
right.
just calculators. And I read, and I can't remember where I read it, but there was a bank that does not allow its tellers to ever do any calculations by hand because they won't have a paper trail. Everything must be done on a calculator. That's quite a change from you're supposed to think about this on yourself. And that's because the bank respects the need for keeping a record and being accurate.
Right.
We want all children to develop accuracy and efficiency with computation, but we have to be realistic that the most accurate and most efficient way when numbers are large and complex is to use a calculator.
Yeah, and it's a technology that's part of our lives.
But children still need to have some kind of ballpark. When I say 53 times 16, I say, well, give me an about number. Where are we?
Yeah.
We're near 100, or we near 500, or we near 1,000, And I push them a lot for estimates because then if you get something wacko on a calculator, it should trigger a flag for you immediately to take another look.
Right. The human being is still the ultimate arbiter there.
Yes.
Well, Marilyn, I want to thank you for talking with us again here on Teacher Radio.
You're welcome.
And remember, you can use the internet to find more math wisdom from Marilyn Burns and to learn about all the books, videos, audio tapes, and workshops for teachers that her company offers. The company name is Math Solutions, and the website address is www.mathsolutions.com. That's www.mathsolutions.com. Bye, Marilyn.
Bye-bye, Nina.
I'll look forward to talking with you again next week.
Yeah, so do I.